Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope it's been a great day so far. Well, my guest today has walked quite a journey in her young life. She battled anorexia as a teenager. She spent time at the Playboy Mansion hanging around the pool. She was an idealistic bride, a stressed-out mom. She's battled chronic illness, and she's wondered where God was in the midst of it all. Do you ever feel that way? Do you feel like your past is broken and wondering if God can redeem all the parts and pieces of your story? Or do you feel broken beyond repair? Well, my guest today is Andrea Logan White, and she joins me to talk about her story and her book, Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. We'll get her on. Real quick, just announcement I want to make. You've been hearing about a writer's conference. I'm hoping you check it out. If you desire, have a dream to be published, this is an epic conference. We're building an amazing, we've got our faculty set, A-listers, I'm telling you, of editors, agents, and experts in the field. It's coming up in July, but we're talking about it now because we want to make sure you take advantage of the limited number of one-on-one appointments. So check it out at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Get on the faculty pages. Look at the publishing houses that are represented, the literary agents that will be there. I'll be there, too. A number of published authors and radio peeps will be there, and we would love to meet with you. So check it out, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Andrea Logan White is a wife, mother, actress, producer, and speaker who lives in the L.A. area with her husband, David, and their three children. Great names. Listen to these. Ethan, Ocean, and Everson. Andrea is a co-owner of Pure Flix Entertainment. You've no doubt watched some of their movies. She continues to produce, act, write, and speak regularly. She spreads her message of grace, embracing flaws and imperfections to women around the world. Andrea, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. So great to be here, Susie. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation. And we start every day, Andrea, talking scripture. We just love the Word of God and Live the Promise. Wondering if you either have a life verse that you carry with you or just a verse you've been thinking about these days and pondering that you can share with us.
Well, one of my favorites is in Philippians, and he who began a good work in me will continue until the day of completion, until we meet Christ Jesus. And that's, I believe, Philippians 4:16, I want to say. And, you know, that's just really the heartbeat of my book. And we're all on a journey, and I love Philippians.
Yeah. Well, he began it, and he's going to finish it. And I think we need to remember that, because if we forget that, we start to think more rests on our shoulders than on his, you know?
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, Andrea, give us backstory on what growing up was like for you.
Well, I did not grow up in a Christian home, and my dad was a cop. And we grew up in a home where there was not a lot of nurturing. And so from little on, I felt invisible or like something was wrong with me because I didn't have that affirmation that every child needs, that you know, the love and the affection. And so from that, I carried this feeling of, I guess you want to say, rejection from an early age. And then my parents divorced and lost both my grandparents in 1 year. And that was, I was 12, 13 years old. So I had an identity crisis and really, you know, contemplated and threatened suicide. And then my mom had moved away and gotten remarried. And I was 16 at the time. So I had dealt with major abandonment issues and you know, had a first love and obviously was living very worldly. And so was not a believer at the time and was really broken and lost. And so the anorexia started in high school. And that was obviously a way to protect myself and to control things because I couldn't control what other people were doing to me. So that was one stronghold that I really clung to, was to try to protect myself. And clearly the story doesn't end there.
You know, and you kind of skimmed over it so fast, the idea that your mom decided one day, and you've reconciled with your mom. She talks about this in the story,
yeah,
that you guys have just been able to talk about, but you needed to tell the story. But, I mean, my jaw dropped because here you are in high school.
Yeah.
It's not like you had another place to go. And she's like, well, see ya, basically, and left to marry another man. I mean, abandonment is an understatement when you're thinking of these formative years for you. I mean, that's a huge trauma.
It is. It's you know, I think no matter how old you are, you want love from your parents, and you're shaped in your identity. First of all, we are shaped by God in Christ. But if you don't have that, you're shaped by your family. And so, yeah, it was a very empty, awful feeling to not feel secure in your own home. And I did what every rebellious teenager did. I experimented with drugs and boys and alcohol. And obviously that's emptiness was a place to fill a void because I was starving for love.
Well, what happened next? So take us into those late teens, early 20s. What happened in that part of your journey?
So I moved to, after I graduated high school, and within those few months, I did not have, you know, in the Word of God, it says people perish for lack of vision. And I did not have a vision or a plan for my life. And so I sunk so deep into anorexia, I got down to under 80 pounds and had to go into near hospitalization. Well, I was 18 at the time, and so I could reject that. And even insurances at the time considered it a mental illness, and so they wouldn't cover much of anything back then. And so I moved to San Diego. My dad ended up getting a job transfer, so I moved to San Diego, and I spent the first 6 months in bed because I could barely get up to shower. I was that sick, and I was that weak, and was kind of going to therapy and counseling, but was really, you know, I'm kind of a pistol, and I really was determined to be able to start my life over, and I got strong enough to get a job and to start my first year in college. And so I stayed down in San Diego with my dad. I did some modeling and some auditioning, and that kind of spawned the spark. I fell in love with the theater class. I was a huge athlete in high school, grew up with two brothers, and so I kind of was a tomboy. But when I moved to San Diego, I wanted to try new things, and I got the acting bug in a local college down in San Diego. So that triggered me to start auditioning, and led me to a commercial agent who invited me up to the Playboy Mansion. So I was surrounded by people clearly that were not living a pure life. And I walked into the Playboy Mansion. I was, I think, 18, 19 at the time. And on the other side of that was a whole new world that I'd never experienced. And drove up with my red Honda Civic and these beautiful valet men with white gloves, you know, walk me to the door. And I see Leonardo DiCaprio and George Clooney and all these beautiful, perfect on the outside Playboy Playmate bunnies and actors and actresses. And that was my introduction to Los Angeles. And within the first 15 minutes of arriving, Hef's main girlfriend at the time came up and introduced herself and befriended me. And we ended up getting a house together, and she was my roommate. So I spent that entire year at the Playboy Mansion, having dinner with Hef, sitting by, you know, next to him. And funny enough, I was relapsing in and out of the eating disorder. So he would somewhat be a father figure to me. There was never any impure thing from him towards me. It was like, you, if you want to pose for Playboy, you need to eat your dinner. And, you know, obviously at the time, that was the cool thing to do, because I didn't have a gauge of what was good and wrong and not, because I wasn't really walking with the Lord at the time. So it was a very fascinating introduction to Los Angeles, and I was trying to support myself. I worked very compromising jobs, you know, had near-death experience, which is in my book, dated multiple men, and it was just, it was like I couldn't get enough of the world before the world tried to take me down, which is what happened. And then a few years after that is when I hit rock bottom.
And when you hit rock bottom, is that when you met the Lord, or take us to that point when God met you and you realized he was after you?
Well, you know, I was at the end of myself, and I'm at the stoplight of Sunset and La Brea in Hollywood. It was after an audition. I could barely make ends meet. I was working jobs to pay rent and supporting myself, and I just was in a deep, dark, awful place and cried out at a stoplight, and I said, God, if you're real, you need to show me who you are, because I don't want to live anymore. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have any true friends that really love me. Help. And somebody beeps their horn at the stoplight, and tears streaming down my face. I look over. This man is pointing to the radio station, and he has a piece of paper with the sign the radio station's sign and drives away in waves.
Wow.
And so I turned to the station. The bumper sticker on his old beat-up car says, "Jesus loves you." And that station was literally a pastor repeating the prayer that I just cried out to God.
Oh, my goodness.
I know it. That was an angel in disguise, and that was, to me, God manifested himself so real. And it's not like my life dramatically, you know, changed overnight, but that led me to a place of hunger and searching. And I went to church when I lived with Hef's roommate. One of our first acting teachers was a Christian, and he would just weep for us, and I couldn't understand. It was like he had a spirit of intercession where he just would, we'd be in class and he would just weep, and he invited us to church, and that church was Malibu Vineyard. And I went once at the time, and I thought, oh, it's so cute, these people are raising their hands, look at that, you know, sweet little Christians. And I didn't know anything about living a Christian Christ-like life. And so I went to the only church that I knew in LA, and I went back to that church, and went with a friend who was dealing with some drug abuse as well, and raised my hand and got saved. I didn't even know what that meant. And so I just kept going. I would go to sit in the last row in the last seat, and I just kept going to hear the word, and I just would bolt. I didn't want to know anybody. It was too uncomfortable, but I just kept going week after week. And then slowly God just started surrounding me with believers, and those seeds, you know, I think they just slowly get planted. Mm-hmm. And once you do know, and you do have that awareness of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that life is easy or perfect, but it's I'm still on a journey, let's be honest.
Yeah, me too.
But that the awareness and the conscious of now that it's not just you making choices, you have that moral compass now. So that's kind of when God turned my life around.
Andrea, that's just such an amazing story. And when you think about that man responding to the nudge of the Spirit and lifting up a note with the call letters of a Christian radio station, we always say, I always say to our listeners, be a radio missionary and share these shows with people that need them. But to me, that's the ultimate, being a radio missionary, just being so sensitive to the woman who's crying in her car next to him that he holds up the little note to get you to turn on the radio. I mean, that's just an amazing story. And I mean, this just shows you how God's raising up people to go after Andrea Logan, who's now Andrea Logan White, and she and her hubby are the co-founders of Pure Flicks. We'll talk about how she got there, but there's a lot of stories still. Title of her book, Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. You can email if you want in on the drawing. We've got three copies. Live the Promise at myfaithradio.com. Put Perfectly Unfinished in that subject line. Please remember that mailing address, and we'll be back in a minute. Let that song play out. I love it. That's by Mandisa. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Andrea Logan White, and her book is actually titled Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. And this is, dear woman, as a young girl, walked through anorexia and abandonment as a teenager. She spent time as a young late teenager, early 20-something, in the Playboy Mansion, hanging out by the pool. She had chronic illness, which we haven't gotten to that part of her story yet, but this, we've brought us to the place where you came to Christ. You kept going to church, wanting to hear the message, but not really wanting to know the people all that much, and God started to get a hold of your heart. You open your books. So we're going to jump ahead in your story, and we can kind of refer back if you don't mind, but the first chapter is titled The View from the Red Carpet. Take us to that point, if you would, and tell us that story.
Well, you know, I do it too, and we always judge a book by its cover, and we think, oh, you know, the red carpet moments and the life of Instagram and Facebook and, you know, all of these things, we judge people and we think that their life is so amazing and perfect and grand. And the reality is it's smoke and mirrors. And I really struggled. I've lived my life through a lens of perfectionism that I couldn't even live up to. And had so much condemnation and depression and anxiety of, like, what's wrong with me? You know, why does everybody have it all together? And I just really had that feeling of just the lack of self-worth. And so I just want to share my transparency with others, because it doesn't matter where you live, what you do, how much money you make. We all, at the end of the day, we need Jesus, and we have the same problems. We're all hurting, and we all need him, and we all go through so many trials. And no matter who you look at in this world, nobody has it together. And I just wanted to be real and honest. And, you know, the behind the scenes on the red carpet, as I'm just sharing, like, this is a moment that looks awesome, but this is what is really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel led to share that with others, because I struggle with that as well. And so I just wanted to be honest with others and my readers.
Love that you did that. And, you know, the models, I can't remember what some of the big names who've done things where they've put pictures up and not let anybody change them, Photoshop them in any way. Just saying, I'm just going to be real. I mean, you know this, that anxiety, depression, despair, they're at all-time high attributed to social media, because it's not real. And, it's such a good thing for us to go first and say, this is my story. This is how I struggle. And I love and appreciate that you've done that. So here you battled anorexia. Did that morph into bulimia for you, Andrea, or were they one and the same sort of for you back then?
It did. In fact, you know, I guess I was a little naive when I got saved. I was like, okay, great. I'm a new creature in Christ, and my problems are, you know, God took them away and he blotted out my sin. Well, what I didn't realize, and I'm still walking through being refined, and we have deep wounds that take years to heal. And so, yes, we are new creatures in Christ, but we are wounded people that, you know, God doesn't heal us emotionally and mentally and physically overnight.
Right.
Some people get a miracle, and it's amazing, and I love that, and God still does those today. But for me, it's been a journey and a process. And when I got saved, I kind of filled my fire and hunger for Jesus and was in the Word and was reading and doing all of these things and in a Bible study. But yet those insecurities and that the brokenness and the abandonment, that never left me. And still, I still do fight with that. And so it morphed into, you know, it was like the same month I started dating David. I was this baby Christian, and then boom. And it's also part of what I believe is a spiritual warfare. We're in it. We're all in a battle, and I think the enemy goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour and destroy. And I got hit so hard with bulimia after, and so that was huge. I questioned my salvation. I was like, I'm praying. I'm crying out to God. I'm reading the Word, and here I am. I'm destroying myself, and that self-destructive spirit, you know, it's something that I picked up as a means to cope, but I could not get out of it. And it took me years for God to break that cycle. And God is faithful. He's so good. But yeah, it was, it's awful. And anybody dealing with addiction, I have so much compassion for, because it's relentless.
Yeah. Bless your heart for talking out about it. And the way though that you were delivered was pretty amazing. Tell us how God really plucked you out of bulimia.
Yeah, and God is so faithful, and it brings me to tears every time I share it, because not only did God pull me out of sin, my own doing, my own sin, knowing that I was destroying myself, I could not physically love myself enough to stop that behavior. And God not only broke that cycle, but I conceived a child, which was a miracle, because I was told through the eating disorders and anorexia and that I would never be able to have children. And I had multiple doctors tell me that. So not only did he break that curse and broke the cycle of an addiction of bulimia, that I conceived my first child, and I took a pregnancy test, threw up my lunch, and from that day forward, I was like, I will never, I love this baby way too much to hurt. It's not fair to this child. Mm. And God knew that I had to love something other than myself to have just to be motivated to
fight for
stop.
Freedom.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So for those who may not know who your husband is, but I think they would know him by face, maybe kind of explain who he is, how we would know him.
David A.R. White. Yeah. And he is one of the owners of PureFlix, and we produce, distribute. We're both actors, and we do, you know, just like Netflix, PureFlix has a platform on any smart TV. So we do theatrical films, we do television, we do live streaming, we do pretty much everything family and faith-based. So we have, you know, the biggest faith-based market that offers all kinds of content to our viewers.
Hmm. Isn't he in one of the films, at least he's in one, I think, one of your PureFlix films?
Oh, my goodness. One?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was trying to be, okay. So where would we know him from? Tell us, when God Is Not Dead, right?
Yeah, he's in God's Not Dead. Mm-hmm. In fact, the third one is A Light in the Darkness, and that comes out actually next month. Mm-hmm. So that is that will be in theaters next month. We have he's in many movies. And then we also have a current, we have a current movie out in theaters right now that's called Samson, and that's obviously the story of Samson and Delilah, so we have that as well. So we have multiple movies in theaters every year, and then we also do new television shows. David and I are in a fun show called Malibu Dan the Family Man. That's on PureFlix.com, and that came out in January. And we also have a comedy called Hitting the Brakes, and so we're just trying to keep up, you know, giving you guys new stuff and new things to enjoy and to be able to bring your family to.
It's fantastic. So we got about a minute and a half, so you may have to carry this over to the other side, but at least you want to touch on it. But he pursued you, and you ditched him. he would go after you in church, and you would slip out the back door. You didn't make it easy for him. Let's put it that way. Say a word if you would.
Yeah, you know, I think God knew that I definitely needed to grow up a little bit as a believer, and so he chased me, and I ran, but he finally got me. I think perseverance is his quality, and he got me.
And you both won the prize because you have each other, and you've got these three kids. Kind of amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long was PureFlix born in your heart? I mean, you guys started it, right?
Yeah, so PureFlix was, we started in 2005, and David originally had some other partners that he was producing films with all the way back in the 90s, and then we wanted to really be able to have more control with doing more content and distribute our films, because a lot of times what people don't understand is you can do a film, but then it kind of gets lost once you give it to distribution. So we wanted to be able to have more control in that sense, and so we started PureFlix in 2005 and started with, you know, DVDs at the time, and then theatrical movies. And so we do movies in theaters, and then we launched PureFlix.com, and that's on any, like, just like Netflix, to be able to do television, talk shows, cooking shows, kids programs, so we can just expand the market for others.
Wow. Thanks for doing that. Thank you. I'm sure you pay a price for that. The enemy hates what you're doing, and God loves what you're doing, and we appreciate it. Andrea Logan White, with her husband David, are the owners and founders of PureFlix. Her book is titled Perfectly Unfinished. We're going to talk more about her story and how God met her and redeemed her when we come back. Having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Andrea Logan White. She and her husband, David, founded PureFlix Entertainment. They've got a film coming out, Samson. I got to go see that one. But we're talking about Andrea's book today, Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. And so we've talked a bit about anorexia, bulimia, doctors saying you'll never have children. You've got three beautiful children. But you also dealt, and your health issues didn't end there. You have fibromyalgia and some Lyme disease, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. So you are really, really dealing with some things. Talk about, did those kind of all come on in a kind of an acute onslaught or one at a time, and what that was like to navigate that part of your life?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it came on, you know, year after year, and I had a very traumatic second pregnancy. I almost lost my daughter and went into preterm labor at 20 weeks and was on bed rest for 4 months. And so talking about living in fear every day of your life. And that was one of the scariest things that I had to walk through, trusting God, because I had a hard time trusting God because of the past that I came from. I didn't have a comfortable life. And so trusting God, even to this day, to be completely honest, is one of the things that I struggle with. Mm-hmm. And so God has allowed so many different things for me to really trust him and how good and faithful he is. But I sat there every day and in and out of the emergency room, getting shot up with all kinds of drugs to just try to keep her in. And oh my goodness, God was so good that I delivered her at term. But it was a very, very scary time. And about, after that, my health started really declining and the chronic pain started setting in and I started getting chronic migraines and they couldn't figure it out. And I would have like the left side of my body would go numb and I just, all these symptoms that could not, they just didn't make sense. And so finally, you know, a couple of years ago, my neurologist, we did a Lyme disease test and that came back positive and started having these seizure-like symptoms. And then about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I started passing out. My husband saw me and I had collapsed and I was passed out. So really, I think it's just the little things that tipped the bucket over and I was in fight or flight, you know, 24/7. And so thank goodness I am not there anymore. But my health is very fragile and it's really opened my eyes to just take the small things and appreciate, you know, God allows these things. He doesn't cause them, but it really changes your perspective on life. I mean, I had to deal with the fear of dying and leaving my children. I mean, I've dealt with everything. And so I didn't want to leave my house and I, you know, became agoraphobic for a season. And I'm just all of these things that God walked me through it. If I didn't have my faith, I know I'd be dead. But it's definitely these unknown, uncertain things where you're like, why God, why? You know, I have these, this amazing family and why can't I be the wife and the mother that I want to be? And definitely brought me to my knees day in and day out of, okay, God, I'm not who I want to be still to this day. I will never arrive, but I'm here and I'm yours. But it's definitely, as you know, dealing with chronic illness, nobody can explain living in chronic pain and living with the fear of the unknown of what your body's going to do. Mm. But it's led me on this beautiful journey, and I have studied more than I've ever studied. And if I wasn't an actor, I'd probably be a doctor.
Yes, exactly. Same here. And I said this before off the air to Andrea. This is a line from her book, but I've said what she wrote here, I've said it 1,000 times. And she writes, because I frequently experience sudden unpredictable onset of severe symptoms, anxiety's become a major issue, often leaving me trapped in fight or flight mode. And you're so right. People have no idea the dailiness of that, where I'm having a conversation and my face goes numb or there's an ice pick in my head or my vision blurs or, you know, dizziness comes and all that stuff. And you're trying to stay focused and stay normal. And there's a dependence, though, I really have realized for me anyway, as much as I hate it, and I know God didn't cause it, it throws me right in his arms. And I'm so intimately dependent on him for everything because I'm a pistol too, and I have vision for my life too. And that juxtaposition of a fierce faith and vision and a deep, deep dependence, I don't know. I think it's the stuff miracles are made of, you know?
Amen. I agree. Mm. Absolutely.
What do you have to do to maintain your health? I mean, what are your kind of big rocks and boundaries that you have to, because you're a busy gal. I mean, you're a producer, an actor, writing books. And this is always so funny. I'm sure you get this too, but it's like, wait, what? You have a chronic illness and you're doing what? But we know how to have boundaries on our rest. And I'm just saying that, but I think in the middle of our limits, we have an unlimited God. So I'd love to hear how you manage that.
Yes, and it's so funny because I can't even tell you how many times I'm crying that I have to get on a plane because sometimes traveling brings on the symptoms worse with the I'm not sure why, but I get the migraines. And I just, God is so good to get me through it by his grace, but I really have to take it one day at a time. And there is days where I can run one errand and that's it. And then there's other days where I can go all day. There's days that I have to crawl in bed in the afternoon. And, you know, I have a good friend who helps out. We do not have a nanny. We did when they were younger. And sometimes I just have to take the expectations off and really just take it one day at a time, because I think we all in today's society, we have this pressure of having the perfect house and having to work out and put meals on the table. And you know what? I had to let that go. It was all part of God healing me of who I think I should be, and just let it go. And there's days that I'm going to, unfortunately, not that I do it all the time, but my kids are going to eat fast food and eat because I'm too tired to cook. And there's days that I am going to have to take a nap. And I really just try to give myself grace. And, you know, it's not easy to do, but it's that, or I found if I push myself too hard, that's when the POTS and everything else came, because my adrenals were so depleted that my body got so weak that I don't want to go back to that place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like when you get to that place and you understand your limits, especially if you look healthy on the outside, I have a phrase that I said, I've become content to be misunderstood, and I really am okay, because I know I'll be the one holding the bag, paying that price if I do what people think, just one more thing, just one more little thing. I'm like, I know that this is my limit, so, and I'm the one who has to live with it, and I've had to just become okay with being misunderstood if that's the case, you know?
Absolutely, and I think for a long time, we try to justify ourselves, because like you said, we have our hair, we look healthy, we look fine, and you know, you start to feel very isolated with these symptoms and these things, and you just have to hand it over and say, okay, well, they're going to judge me regardless.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no kidding. Yeah. If not this, for something else, that's for sure.
Yep.
Well, you go after the facade thing in your book, which I love, because I think the Christian facade, the perfection infection or whatever it is, causes more new believers and unbelievers who are watching to despair, to turn away, to lose heart, because they cannot live up to it. And you blow that to smithereens in your book. In fact, you say this, that we are defenseless against our enemy if we are living a lie. So I agree. I think there's a twofold implication here. So not only can we personally not stand against the enemy if we're not being real about our need and who we are, but really we're causing despair and discouragement in someone else because we're setting ourselves up to look like something we're not. So say more about that, if you would.
Well, you know, I think, and I've gone through times in my faith and currently as well, is where you feel less than, or you feel like, my gosh, I know the truth. I know the word. I know God calls us to live a certain way in a pure and holy life. But the more pressure that I would put on myself, the more sin and rebellion that I would encounter. And so it wasn't until I was forced to love all of me, the good, the bad, the ugly. And that's why God put that on my heart, to share not just the great side of Andrea and what she does, is I had to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think we are humans. We judge, we are the ones, but you know, God loves us unconditionally. He does judge us for our sin, but he also wants us to receive his grace and mercy. And it wasn't until I embraced my imperfections and the ugly side of me that I actually find true freedom. And I know for me and friends that have fallen, and friends that, you know what, we need to love each other through the pain. Mm. Obviously, I always recommend biblical counseling, and if you have to talk about it and get help, I am so for that. But really, to just love people and pray for them, the last thing they want to do is get preached over the head to know, well, this is what Scripture says. Now, yes, Scripture, we know we can measure that. That's our measuring stick of what God's Word says. But sometimes when you're going through a hard time and you're defeated and you already are dealing with self-hatred, you just need to be loved and you need to be heard and you need to be supported. And mm-hmm. so I just want to extend that to others. Mm-hmm. And that's, I hope I can be that person and that friend to other people.
So good. I've repeated this line several times on the show because I keep thinking we need to hear it. But Dr. Jim Wilder is a brain science expert, counselor, man of God, and he studied trauma and just the neural rewiring in our brain after trauma and how the heart heals, because we've all experienced traumas of some kind. And he says that we heal in the presence of people, loving people who deal tenderly with our weaknesses. I think that is so beautiful. And that's just exactly what you're saying, is that you know when someone's dealing tenderly with your weaknesses. And he said that's how the heart heals. That's how the brain heals. And it's critical that we all know a certain community of people who will deal tenderly with those parts of us that you're talking about. And that's what Jesus invites us to, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. It really is. It's God's unconditional love and an acceptance of knowing that we'll never arrive until the day that we meet him.
Indeed.
And the day that we meet Christ.
Hmm. So how do you, we have a break coming up in a few minutes here, but how have you learned to deal with the chronic self-condemnation that the enemy levels at everybody on a regular basis? What's been your tactic to stand strong against it?
You know, it's really taking every thought captive and knowing that if we feel condemned and we're fighting that lie, you know, for me, I have to bring those thoughts to life. And I have a few very, very close girlfriends that just sometimes confessing the thoughts or confessing what you're going through, it just dissolves. It nips it in the bud. And I have to, and I was an isolator. I come from a family that really doesn't deal with feelings, that we push it down, that we go to coping mechanisms that are very unhealthy. But for me, I find that the more open and honest I am with what I'm dealing with and saying, listen, you know, this is what I'm dealing with and I'm hurting. You know, God wants us to fellowship for a reason. And as much as I, you know, introverted, shy Andrea, that like it becomes a different person when I'm an actress, but I really, at the end of the day, I'm very closed off. I'm very guarded, but God has really allowed me to be more open and honest with my pain and my hurt and my fears. And oftentimes it helps to just share it with, even if it's just one person, mm-hmm. my husband or my girlfriends, it kind of dissolves that.
It's especially as you said, you know, someone that you know that loves you, you know. But when we come back, I want you to talk about two of the chapters from your book, The Fear Factor Survivor and From Feast to Famine, talking to Andrea Logan White. She and her husband founded Pure Flix Entertainment. Her book is titled Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. If you need a book to help just to relate to know that you're not alone in your stuff and that there is a Jesus, King Jesus, who will meet you in that place to redeem you, you want to check out this book. We've got a few copies. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to Andrea Logan White. Her husband, David, and she founded Pure Flix Entertainment. No doubt you've enjoyed some of their movies, God Is Not Dead, God Is Not Dead 2. Samson's coming out soon. Andrea's got a beautiful, honest, raw book titled Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. And you've got a chapter titled The Fear Factor Survivor. Just when I think you've had an adventurous life, I read the next chapter. So talk about this one if you would.
Well, oh my goodness, this was years ago and I was a newer believer and I was actually tested. I was down to the last few people to go on an island on the show Survivor at the time. I think it was Survivor 5. And then they said, well, you're too bold of a Christian to, you're too bold in your faith. And so the same producer said, I want to put you on something. And would you do Fear Factor? And I was like, I guess so. I mean, I was kind of in a tomboy. So yeah, that was really something that was fun to do at the time. And I've always been athletic and my brothers would never, growing up, they would never let me go into the house until I threw like a boy. They're like, you can't throw like a girl. You need to throw like a boy. And so that really spawned, and I was bullied by my cousins and by my brothers. Mm. I love them to pieces now. We're good. But, you know, I was the target as a kid because I was the sick weakling one, and I always was just sick and weak. And so I was the target, and it spawned in me this retaliating, fighting spirit that I look back and I see, wow, Lord, you really, you know, you gave that to me for a reason because you knew what was ahead of my journey and what was to come. And so I've always kind of been that person that just hates to be a victim, and I'm going to push and I'm going to fight and I'm stubborn and I will do what I have to do to get victory. And so that really has gotten me a long way. And so I thank God that he raised me with two brothers.
Mm-hmm. I have three brothers. I know. I'm tomboy as well. So I got it.
Yep.
So, well, tell me if you wouldn't mind just giving us a behind the scenes peek at what your experience was like on the Fear Factor.
Well, it was obviously scary. I had to, we had to hang from a bridge in Pasadena, and they call it Suicide Bridge because I think many people commit suicide there. So we had to hang from this trapeze thing, which I believe I had the fastest time. I beat all the boys. And then the second stunt, we had to eat pig's uterus, which was the most, to this day, I will not eat pork. It was the most disgusting thing. If you think about an inside of an animal, it was so horrific, and nobody could do that. So they brought us all back for the third stunt, and that was at the Bonaventure Hotel downtown LA, and it was like 50 stories up, and we had to walk on these plates, and we were obviously harnessed. And I was the second to last go, and I beat the boys. I beat everybody's time, and then the last girl to go just went all out, and she beat me by 7 seconds. So I just remember feeling so deflated because at that time I couldn't pay my rent, and I was like, I need $25,000 so bad. And I came in second, but I just was so proud at where I had come, and the fact that I even did something that was out of my comfort zone, because I don't like doing new things and feeling uncomfortable. But it's really the through line of my life, that I feel like God always throws me in the deep end, even when I'm not prepared. And I think there's a reason for it, for anybody listening, is that he knows that it's by his strength and not our own, and that we don't rely on our own senses, our own things that we can do, but we know by his spirit that we can do all things. So.
Amen. Amen. Okay, the chapter from feast to famine, talk about that one.
Well, you know, actually, I haven't read my book, so
I know what you mean.
I've worked on it for 2 years.
Yes.
But is that the chapter, just maybe run that by again?
Yes. Well, talking about the joy of God's presence in your life as a new believer, not every experience was sweet, and it was just clear connection between your health and your relationship with food was fragile, and just some of the battles and that maybe a bit of disillusionment that you felt, because these weren't easy fixes and they weren't solved right away, but in that place and process, how you learned to trust God.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is definitely something, again, when I'm walking through life, I've never had, and there's people so far worse off than me and many of us, but I've just never had this comfortable life that, you know, I pray a prayer and then it's done. Like, I've had to walk through years of unknowns and uncertainties and perseverance, but knowing that God is with me, walking through that fire and feeling oftentimes alone and ignored and questioning my faith, but God has really walked me through this. And, you know, he uses all of that. Romans 8:28, he really uses all of those things for our good, even though we don't see it as good at the time. And you know, there's definitely those things that he's constantly refining us. And, you know, it's very hard to feel unfinished and to feel like you're walking through this alone, but, you know, but God is there. And I always say, if I can help one person not throw in the towel, because let me tell you, I'm still a work in progress. I'm falling every day. And it wasn't until I just embraced my flaws and my imperfections to say, okay, God, you know what? I'm your clay pot. I'm a messed up jar of clay, and you're here to shine through it, because I know I am just a person that falls and gets back up. I will never give up on God, because he doesn't ever give up on us. But, you know, we just have to keep walking and take one day at a time and keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, Isaiah 26:3, thou shalt stay in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because I trust in thee.
You know, when you think about having kids, as a mom, it's like so often our stuff can come to the surface, because suddenly we know a vulnerability we've not known before, a love we've not known before, and it can trigger fears and old memories. But on the other side of it, we have a revelation of how God must feel about us. What was that process like for you? Did it do more to trigger fears or more to activate a sense of God's love?
Well, I have to say my children are my greatest teachers, because I look at them and I love them so much. And to think that God loves us more than we can even possibly love others and our children and our family, and to really know, I know how angry I can be at them sometimes. And in a second, you just love them for them, and you don't, you know, you really just I tell my kids that. I said, no matter what you do, I'll always love you. There's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. And so God often speaks to me as I'm speaking to my children. And so that's been such a great healing thing for me, because I see that we purposely do not fall into sin or do things to hurt each other, but it happens, and we do. And I know how I can forgive my family and my children, and that's really a beautiful mirror of what God has given me, and given me a second chance to be able to receive His love.
Well, Andrea, one last question before we wrap up and pray here. But wondering if you would offer some advice. It's not really a question, just a favor. If you would offer advice to that person listening today who still, just as a Christian, they feel stuck in their brokenness. They don't feel hopeful about the redemptive power of God and of Christ, because they feel more aware of what a mess they are, but, you know, not really come to a place just yet where they know how to embrace it like you're talking about, but want so much to experience God's power and grace in that place. What advice would you have for them?
You know, as much, if you're feeling shame, just know that that's not of God. Shame is from the enemy. God loves you, and true believers love you unconditionally as God does. And I would say, no matter what sin you think is greater to confess, or you're dealing with, you know, addiction, and whatever it is, infidelity, abandonment, you know, all of these things, drugs, alcohol, pornography, there's no sin greater than what God can do to heal. And I would just encourage anybody to please don't hide, because it only gets worse when we isolate, and then it just grows, that the lies of the enemy just grow because you feel alone, and then the self-hatred, and then you want to walk away and you don't want to go to church, because listen, I still go through that. I've been there, I've done that, and you're afraid to be confronted, and you don't want to look believers in the eye because you feel like you're being judged. But just know that accusation and condemnation and shame come from the enemy, and love and acceptance and forgiveness comes from God. So I would encourage you to find somebody safe, and to don't hide, don't be afraid, because true believers, they love you for you, and they're going to love you and accept you regardless.
Wow, Andrea, thank you for that. As we pray now, would you take it a step further, and would you mind just praying for that person you were just speaking to?
Sure. Father, I thank you for this time to share my story. I thank you that we all have the good, the bad, and the ugly in our lives, that we are a work in progress, God, that we are all perfectly unfinished, that the only perfect one is Jesus, and the perfect one lives inside of us, God. And I pray for every person that's hurting, that's crying out, that's on their last leg, that wants to end their life, God, I pray that you intervene, that you show them your love, you show them your grace and mercy, that you give them a purpose with a plan, with a future and a hope. You say in Jeremiah 29:11, you say that, God, that you've given us all a plan with a future and a hope, that you love us, God. And I ask, God, that you just surround everybody, anybody that's hurting, with people that can love them, that can take them in. And Father, that you just make yourself real to them, that your relationship, our relationship with you is not a religion. It's not anything other than you just want to hang out with us. And Father, I pray that you just make it real, and that you heal people in their broken places. And I just pray blessings on everybody that's listening in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' name. Andrea, thank you for your time, and just for sharing your story today. We sure appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. I really appreciate it, Susie.
Great, great conversation. Andrea Logan White, title of her book, Perfectly Unfinished. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next for hour two, I'm going to talk to a woman who was on the playground with her kids at school, running around playing tag, and one boy was up in the jungle gym. He jumps over, he lands on her head, breaks her neck, and she tells her story next, and it's gripping. So don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.